About 60% of individual investors think the stock market will go higher in the next 6 months. That's the highest percent since 2010. This is according to last week's sentiment survey by the American Association of Individual Investors, which takes a weekly read on the mood of individual investors. Last week, the main U.S. indexes had their strongest first four trading days of a year in more than a decade. We're learning about the factors behind this Wall Street rally, and we've reached out to Van Mobley. He's an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and president of the Village of Thiensville. He also writes a regular column for the Ozaki News Graphic. Van, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Well, we'll talk in detail as we go along, but can you give us a general assessment of America's economy right now, 1 year into the Trump presidency?
I think the American economy is performing very well and strengthening. We've had, I think I was on the show back in the beginning of 2017, and we talked about 3% growth, and I predicted that we would hit that. And at the time, that was seemed like a very big number, and a lot of people were skeptical. But I think, in fact, that when we shake it all out at the end of the year, we will have had about 3% growth. And I expect that we will have about 3 to 3.5, maybe even 4. So 3 to 4% growth this year is my prediction. If you look at some of the ISM manufacturing numbers, they're very strong. The
ISM?
Yeah, the Institute for Supply Management.
Thank you.
It's a survey that's conducted really, it sort of attempts to gauge manufacturing activity. Manufacturing is very important for the state of Wisconsin, and that survey, both on a national level and in the upper Midwest, is very strong, so we get continued expansion in the manufacturing sector. That's a very good sign. I think home sales still continue to go up. Really what we've been waiting for, and I think that maybe we're going to be able to see this year even more so than last year, is the wage increases will really beginning to accelerate this year.
Well, yesterday the Dow closed at 25,385, another record high after surpassing the 25,000 mark for the first time on Thursday. Since November 9th, 2017, the day after President Trump was elected, the Dow had climbed more than 7,000 points. What are we seeing on Wall Street?
Well, I think that we're seeing a response to the improved conditions in the American economy. I think the tax cuts helped with that. And but I must be honest with you, and I'll be frank right up front. My forecast doesn't call for as much, anywhere near as much growth in the stock market indices as we had in 2017. So I predict more of a flat to slightly up year.
Why do you think that?
I just think that we'll have to grow into the underlying economy. We'll grow into the stock market. Oftentimes, people say the stock market is a future predictor, and I think we're just going to have to digest some of these gains.
We're heading into earnings season now. How do you think companies are going to be reporting?
I think that they're going to be importing solid results, and those results will support the current valuations.
There was a story in Bloomberg this week with the headline, Wall Street's rising euphoria may spell trouble for stock market. It went on to say that such climbs have historically been a precursor to a market decline. Another story cited analysts saying that there could be even a recession on the horizon, possibly in the second half of the year. Are you nervous about a downturn, or do you see a bubble going on?
No, I'm greatly encouraged by some of those, in particular the Institute for Supply Management, the manufacturing surveys. I think those are really positive numbers, and I think that really gets at a lot of the underlying economy. I also think that the Trump administration is beginning to, continuing the policies that are designed to support the manufacturing sector, which I think really gives you an added bump in growth. So I'm not really interested or concerned about a recession, but I don't, as I said, anticipate anywhere near as high of stock market gains. But the stock market does not always correspond with sort of economic growth in the real economy, and I'm perfectly content to have a flat year in the stock market.
Van Mobley is with us. He's an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's president also of the Village of Thiensville. You can join in this conversation about America's economy. How do you feel about the shape of our economy? Is President Trump making it great again, or is he getting too much credit? How was 2017 for your personal prosperity? Was it marked by more certainty in your finances, or a less rosy depiction than what we see going on in the markets? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us at @WPR Mornings. Van, let's take a look a little bit at jobs. The nation's unemployment rate is down to 4.1%. That's the lowest it's been since 2001. What is going on there? Is that because of President Trump, or does that have to do with President Obama, or do presidents not really factor in with job creation?
Oh, I think it has a great deal to do with President Trump. And as you know, Kate, but I'm biased. I supported Trump for a long time. And I also thought it was pretty funny, I must tell you. I sometimes like some of his tweets. I certainly thought the tweet about the stable genius was quite funny. And I've kind of wandered around asking people about if they thought maybe I was a stable genius, too. I want to be a stable genius like Trump. I do think that he added an infusion of spirit to the American economy. He's removed regulations. They've cut taxes. He's embarked upon a path that will lead us to better trade policies. And I think you add all that up and you get low unemployment, and we're going to see accelerating economic growth.
Let's go to Jim, who joins us from Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, I think we're seeing inflation in the stock market. If you print me tens of trillions of dollars in rubber checks, I can throw you a hell of a party. If you calculated unemployment the way we always did until, again, Jimmy, with the numbers, the inflation or the unemployment rate right now is about 23%. If you calculated inflation the way we did before we made hedonic adjustments and other things like that, we actually have a negative GDP.
Jim, thank you so much for that. Van, what do you make of that inflation?
I think that the Fed has specifically stated that it would like to see some more inflation for quite some time. And I do expect that he's right, that we will have a pickup in some inflation this year as well.
And, you know, I was reading a report that, you know, are there even enough stocks to go around? And what about buybacks? So, Vanna, you know, is this something unprecedented? Have we seen anything like this before, this euphoria?
Oh, yeah, I don't think the euphoria is anywhere near at levels that we've seen in some in the past. And I would say it's more stable and an accurate recognition of reality. I do think, as I said, that the time has probably arrived where we'll see some consolidation in the stock market and the underlying economy will grow into it.
Well, in a speech Monday at the American Farm Bureau Federation in Nashville, Trump said that employers were taking advantage of the tax cuts he recently signed into law to the benefit of their workers. Let's take a listen.
We have over 1 million workers that have already received a tax cut bonus, something that nobody even thought when we made the bill. Nobody thought of that. It happened. AT&T came out. Another one came out. Another one. Then they started copying. Now the ones that didn't get it, everyone's saying, where's mine? So they're all going to have it.
So what's going to be the net economic impact of those tax cuts?
Well, I think that he hit the nail on the head on that one. And you know that I've called for wage increases for quite some time. So I'm very happy that the people at AT&T got a bonus. And I certainly hope that other working people in the country and other industries and other corporations and small businesses, people who are independent, will receive a raise as well.
Well, we're hearing and we're seeing small indications. I mean, AT&T, one of them, but there's a lot of anticipation this is going to happen. When do you see this happening? When do you see companies starting to give those raises to employees?
I think this is the year, so we'll see. I expect it, and I certainly hope for it, so I guess we're going to wait and see.
The stock market is at new highs, and we're learning about why this is at the intersection of the expanding global economy, record earnings, falling unemployment rate. Van Mobley stays with us. He's an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's president of the Village of Thiensville. He also writes a regular column for the Ozaukee News Graphic. How do you feel about the shape of America's economy? Is President Trump at the source of what is going on Wall Street? How has 2017 looked for you in your personal prosperity? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back after a news update. President Trump promised to cut taxes. He fulfilled on that promise last month, and his promise to slash regulations has generated an upbeat mood among business owners and investors. All these things could be influencing the euphoria that we see on Wall Street. We're exploring what economic factors are in play right now as the Dow Jones Industrial Average reaches record highs. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us. Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He stays with us. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on this wild rally? Are you hopeful or nervous or indifferent about what 2018 has in store for the economy? What economic policies would you like to see the Trump administration take on this year? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to David, who joins us in Milwaukee. Hi, David.
Hi,
go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've been a trucker for 43 years. I've lived through deregulation, wage cuts, and everything else. And since Trump has been in office, my son got a 25% increase in wages. I got an increase in wages. I also got they raised my contribution to my 401k that I can contribute. The company contributes more. I've got more loads to haul than I know what to do with. Things are coming up aces, man. I mean, I don't know why they paint this gloomy picture about Trump and that he's incapable of doing anything, because...
Now, David, has this been over the course of this year? This has happened in 2017 and into 2018 here. We're an early start in 2018. But when have you seen your life and the economy pick up?
As soon as Trump got in office. I'm telling you, as soon as this guy got in office, the attitude at our company, and I get around to a lot of industry in the Midwest. We're booming, man. I mean, I get in and out of it all. You can measure the economy by the truck traffic if you want, because I'm 62 years old. I was looking at retiring and getting out of this because it wasn't making much money through the Obama administration, through even the Bush administration. It was tough going. But I'm telling you right now, and I don't know what the heck's going on, because I see a rainbow of people driving trucks. I go into these industries. I see a rainbow of people working of all nationalities, black, Mexican, whatever.
David, what do you haul?
I haul anything. I haul cans, paper products, steel. I have a dry van. I used to haul refrigerated, but I don't do that anymore. But mostly dry goods.
Are you cross-country, or do you do this in Wisconsin?
I do it what they call Midwest Regional. I run Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, and Wisconsin. I'm based out of Green Bay. But, you know, at our last safety meeting a few weeks ago, they were just jubilant. I mean, I couldn't see. I couldn't wipe the smiles off the faces of the people that run this trucking company. Everything's coming up. I mean, they were just happy. And the equipment has improved.
David, thank you so much for contributing these observations. Let's run them by Van. Van, go ahead.
Well, I think maybe I should get off the air and let David keep talking. I mean, I think that he represents a very important sector that gives us signals about what's going on in the real economy. That's transportation.
You know, in many ways, what he just told me is even more important confirmation than the Institute for Supply Management surveys. We see everything that we want to see. We see a wage increase. We see busyness. We see enthusiasm, activity. He's in the upper Midwest. I'm pretty sure that probably he's linked in with manufacturing as it expands. I think that there has been a little bit of not as full of, we haven't exploited fully the potential of the American agricultural sector yet. I do believe that Trump is working on that. He was just down at the Farm Bureau giving a talk earlier in the week. We've got some trade deals that'll give an added boost to the manufacturing sector and to the agricultural sector, manufacturing and agricultural. And those are the details are being worked out. And so I'm David. Hallelujah.
Well, on another side of this coin, Troy says, called in to say the reality is the only reason why we have a great economy is because it's off the backs of major wealthy people cutting labor. The economy is good, but it's bad for workers. It's good for businesses because that's what investors are putting their money in. What do you make of that comment?
I think it just doesn't accord with reality as I see it, although I don't question his own perspective. I think the unemployment rate is low, and I do understand the earlier comment that the gentleman made about how we're not maybe not accurately assessing it. But I'm one who thinks that really the way to lower, to get more people in the workforce is to have accelerating wages, and I think that that's what we're seeing, and I think that's great.
Are we driving a greater divide, though, in wealth in America between the rich and the poor where we see this huge market rally?
No, I don't think that. Although I did tell you that, and I'll reiterate it, that I expect the stock market gains to be muted in this coming year and that the wage increases will be higher. And the wage increases go to working class people. And middle-class people who primarily derive their income from their labor, which, by the way, I would just point out that the tax cuts that the Republican House and Senate and then Trump signed they increase the deduction. There are really serious tax cuts for labor, and that's what I think needed to happen. Maybe not in the form that I would have sketched out, but I'll take what I can get.
The public radio program Marketplace, they said this week that with the tax cuts out of the way, that trade could be the next big item on President Trump's agenda. He'll be making decisions about protecting American industries from global competition. What action would you most like to see the president take on with regard to trade?
Well, I believe I looked at that article myself. I think that article is a good article. If any of your readers ever take a look at the website Politico, there was an article that came out on Sunday that I think gave a very good assessment of what's going on in the Trump administration on trade. I think that really on a global level, we're seeing a reconfiguration of typical trade patterns. And my own view has been for quite some time that the most important trade relationship the United States has, and geopolitical, aside from the Canadians and the Mexicans, which are obvious, is the relationship with Japan. Now, I think the Trump administration has not gotten as much credit as it should for the very skillful way in which they've handled this relationship. I expect that while we did withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I think the relationship on a trade geopolitical level with Japan will be even stronger in the Trump administration than it's been in the past. I think that we'll also have opportunities in Southeast Asia with Vietnam, Thailand, and then India to really have some new trade opportunities. I expect that we'll see that. I also think eventually we'll have a renegotiated NAFTA. So I'm very optimistic on the trade level.
That Marketplace story also noted that the president is facing pressure from those who say tariffs will hurt the U.S. economy. Do you see tariffs as a concern?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I think that the Trump administration has demonstrated its ability to be very deft with its use of these policies. The last administration to use tariffs was the Reagan administration in the 80s. I think they wielded them very well, and I think the result was an economic boom.
And I expect that the Trump administration is going down that same path.
We had a caller who called in and said they're glad the trucker is making more money, but those of us, he said, in healthcare are worried about our jobs with the insurance issue, especially in the area of mental health. Will we see healthcare get some cuts, especially as we see the Affordable Care Act up in the air?
I don't really know what's going to happen on the healthcare angle. I don't think that's a priority for Congress or the president to deal with this year. I think that there'll be other areas. For example, I think infrastructure is sort of higher on the priority list. I don't think that the healthcare system is where it should be, but I don't really see a path forward on it right now. And so then you tackle other priorities that you can make progress on. That would be my advice. And I think infrastructure is a good one to work on, and trade. Those are the two places I would have my priorities.
When we say infrastructure, what do we know about the Trump administration's plans for infrastructure in 2018?
We don't know everything yet. We know that the president would like an infrastructure plan. There are some arguments within the Republican caucus about what exactly that should be. My own view is that the infrastructure plan should focus on some of the larger projects, what we might call signature projects. I mean, the experience at, for example, JFK Airport over the last weekend or so, I mean, we've got a lot of major infrastructure facilities that are important to the people of the United States that are really, they need repair. Also, one of my favorites that I'll throw out there is water systems. I think we need to look at those closely. We've had problems in Flint. Water is extremely important, and I think that we need to maybe have a little investment in that area. I know as a village president in Thiensville, I'm very proud the village has been able to put in a lot of new water pipes. Well, I've been the mayor or the village president. Seems a little boring to some people, but it creates jobs. It's a necessity.
Van Mobley is with us as we take a look at the U.S. economy, understanding what's going on with it right now. Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Your thoughts on the Dow crossing 25,000 at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the shape of America's economy in 2018? Are you as exuberant as the market watchers? Are you worried about a bubble? 800-642-1234, or send your questions to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Todd, who joins us from Green Bay. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning. Good morning to your guest. I kind of fall in the camp of Bernie Marcus, who was one of the founders of Home Depot, and Steve Wynn of Wynn Resorts. When probably 6 or 7 years ago, they said there would be no job creation, no new job creation, as long as Obama was in office. And he has been proven right. They've both been proven right. But the other thing that's interesting to me is that despite all of our economic woes and slow growth and things over the last 8 years, we are $20 trillion or $20-plus trillion in debt at this time. And we started out at about, I think, around $10 trillion. When Obama took office. Just wondering if your guest has can shed any light on where that money went. I mean, what did all that debt fund? And I know infrastructure was $1 trillion worth of it, but when all was said and done, Obama walked away from that about 2 years later and said, I guess there were no shovel-ready infrastructure jobs available, and he just walked away from the whole thing.
Well, let's get Van on here to respond to that. Van, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to stick up and defend Obama a little bit here. The village of Thiensville was able to participate in the shovel-ready projects. We have a dam on the Milwaukee River, and we were able to get some money to repair that dam and to create a fish ladder. Now, I don't know that it was implemented as wisely or as well in other areas across the country, but in that particular regard, I will stand up for President Obama, and we were thankful for that element of his plan and implemented it here. I don't think, on the whole, I think a lot of Obama's, having said that, on a lot of Obama's policies just didn't work. I think they were misconceived.
He had the problem of a bad health care plan that really was a drain on the American economy. And I think that he is he had a fundamental misconception about the direction the United States should go in terms of trade and foreign relations. And I think all those had a detrimental effect on the American economy.
What about the growing deficit and no actions to rectify it and trying to balance a budget?
That is an important point, and I think that's one of the things that you have a debate, for example, within the Republican caucus. And you know, I wish that more Democrats would join the debate in Congress and in the House and the Senate. And that's one of the things, for example, they argue about the infrastructure bill. Will this add to the debt? Should we be worried about increasing the debt? I'm worried about it some, but not as much as others, if the money is spent correctly and on worthwhile projects. Having said that, I don't think that the Trump administration is adding to the debt anywhere nearly as fast as Obama did.
Back here in Wisconsin, work is underway to rebuild frontage roads to accommodate the widening of I-94 as part of the Foxconn plant. Under the agreement with the state, the company must begin construction on its main facilities this year. Are you buying into all the benefits that we're told Foxconn will bring to Wisconsin, or do you have any concerns with some of these arguments?
I am, generally speaking, very optimistic about the prospect of Foxconn coming to Wisconsin. I think that always in something as big and momentous as this, that there'll be some things that we don't anticipate, and maybe some of them will be unpleasant, but on the whole, I'm pretty sure that it'll be a good idea. Well, once again, I would say, as we see the new trade deals that go into place and that sort of thing, then I think that this project in this area will be very good for Wisconsin and good for the United States. So the proof is always in the pudding and how things turn out, but I'm pretty optimistic about it.
Let's go to Scott in Galloway. Hi, Scott.
Hi, ma'am. I work in relationship to the forklift industry, and I have never seen a demand for our product or our services like there is right now. We have acquisitions for thousands of lifts that are on hold. We need hundreds of mechanics to service these lifts. If you think about it, everything in this world travels across the forks of a forklift at least once in its lifetime, be it raw materials to finished product. Most things move across the forks of a forklift a dozen times before they get to the consumer. And I've just never seen it like it is right now with the demand for our products and services.
Scott, really interesting observation. Are you seeing these forklift contracts coming in from around the country, around the nation, or is this just in Wisconsin?
We're a nationwide company, and uh-huh. Across the board, we're at the point where we don't know what we're going to do. They cannot produce forklifts right now at the rate that we need them, but it's got to be a good sign.
And is your company trying to hire more people? What is it doing?
Yes, yeah, and there too. In order to, if you want to pull an employee from another competitor, the only way you're going to do it is by sweetening the pot, and you have to up the ante, and I think healthcare is going to coincide with that, because if you can offer better healthcare to people along with higher wages, that may be what it takes to pull the best and brightest over to your company.
Scott, thank you so much for those insights. He works in the forklift industry, just seeing wild demand. Talking about the economy, what's going on? 800-642-1234. What's going on in your neck of the woods, in where you work? Join the conversation after this news. The pace of job growth during President Trump's first year in office has declined slightly from prior years. Perhaps it isn't so surprising that job growth has slowed since the unemployment rate has dropped to very low levels. Van Mobley is helping us understand the dynamics as the Dow moves to record highs. Some are calling it a melt-up. Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and president of the Village of Thiensville. You can join us with your questions, your insights on the economy, 800-642-1234. Are you hopeful or are you nervous or indifferent about what 2018 has in store for the economy and for your workforce? Are you worried about a sudden drop in the markets, or is that out of the question right now? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us about your industry at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Joe, who joins us from Ettrick. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the show. My bias is I think Donald Trump has hardly any redeeming human qualities. But now with saying that, I would like to see economic growth. Somebody just called in and said that there was no job growth under President Obama. That is flatly untrue from any real-world perspective. He had years and years of private sector job growth. I would note for people that half the American population has no money invested in the stock market. And if there are gains in the stock market, that's great. However, there's no mandate that any company trading on the stock market spend their gains on labor, on wages. They can return them to investors. They can sit on cash, which is primarily what they did during the Obama years of growth in the stock market. Private equity did very well under the Obama administration in a general sense.
I just think
to put it all on whoever the president is and to have this rosy outlook for average people is a little bit naive.
Yeah, Joe, I want to ask you a little bit more there. What do you see as the outlook for middle-class Americans? Because certainly the stock market is only one indicator, and as you mentioned, half of Americans don't participate in the stock market.
I just personally think, obviously, they changed the standard deduction on our taxes, and we'll see how that comes out in the wash, because there are other things that are going to potentially create problems for average Americans, like what are they going to do to Medicare? What is going to happen with health insurance premiums? I'm a business owner. Our health insurance premiums went up again. You can criticize Obamacare, but taking so many million people off of the insurance rolls is going to result in basically those people getting health care and either filing bankruptcy or not paying for their services, thereby increasing the amounts that have to be charged to everyone else. It's another way of providing insurance. It's just not managed well.
Joe, you're a business owner.
It's to be seen what will happen to average people. But to say that a tax cut alone is the benefit for middle American people is a little bit naive and short-sighted given what is unknown about health insurance and other things.
Joe, you're a business owner. Are you see a booming economy from your vantage point?
My business doesn't modify too much based on the economy. We aren't in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I think manufacturing has been doing well. The problem with manufacturing is getting labor into it, and that's been true for years. I think the reality is that sort of the economy in the sense of wages having to go up for that type of service is becoming known to people, and younger people hopefully will be investing in that as a career option. I know that some businesses, in fact, that I represent actually provide educational benefits to new employees so they can get trained to do it for free. So, I mean, I think it's just a reality of the marketplace.
Joe, thank you so much for these contributions. Van, I want you to get a moment in here. Joe is seeing a whole lot of questions, a whole lot of outliers out there. Healthcare, one of them.
I would first of all echo something that Joe said, that I think he hit the nail on the head about the manufacturing sector really being a driver currently, and that in some cases, people have to become aware of the opportunities in those areas. Particularly if they need skills and they need to sort of think about going into those areas at an earlier age to give them a greater access into that, because their wages are going to be very good, in some cases better than in other sectors, including healthcare. And, I would like to throw out a word to Governor Walker in this regard, because he really works hard at helping to make sure that people know about the opportunities in the manufacturing sector. So that's point number one. I think I'd agree with him. He hit the nail on the head. The second thing about the health care is I agree with him. The health care is a problem. President Trump attempted to address it. He's addressed it a little bit by removal of the individual mandate. And I think that in the long run, he'll address it much more fully. It remains a problem.
Let's bring in Tom in Oconomowoc. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question for your guest there. You know, he's painting a pretty rosy picture of things in 2018. And I'm a year away from actually retiring, even though I am 65 years old. And I was looking at the stock market, looking at my money in the stock market, and certainly it's done very well. But is this, two questions, I guess, is this irrational exuberance in the market? And what type of event could make the whole house come crashing down? And I'll take the call. I'll take the answer off the air.
Great questions, Tom. Great questions. Thanks. And Van, go ahead.
Since I think that the stock market run-up has been rooted in real economic growth in the American economy, and that growth is accelerating, I don't think it's irrational exuberance. I do believe that the stock market needs to digest some of these gains, and I think that's what's going to happen over this year. And so that would be that. As far as what sort of external shocks could affect the American economy in general or the stock market in particular, there's always a world of things that could happen. And no American president, not Obama, not Trump, no one has any sort of or their ability to shape the event is limited. I'll give you an example. The North Korean problem remains on the forefront of everyone's mind. But on that, I'm hopeful. I noticed that there was some good news out of the Korean Peninsula this morning. I think a more important thing, if you want to worry about foreign policy shocks that might come into play, is I think that what we're witnessing is we're actually witnessing the dissolution of the European Union, and nobody, that is a big thing. I don't think that the American government could hold the European Union together if it wanted to. I'm not sure that it wants to or doesn't want to. I think we should look upon it more as a fact, and nobody knows how that's really going to shake out.
So certainly international markets and international developments can always impact the American economy in this global society we live in. Can you give us some predictions as to where you think the economy is going to be a year from now?
I do. I think that we'll see 3.5 to 4% growth in GDP. I think the stock market will be flat to
gross domestic product.
Yep. Yeah, gross domestic product will be 3.5 to 4%. I think the stock market will be up a little bit to flat. I think that we'll see in continuing low unemployment. The pace of employment gains in terms of numbers will be less, but we're really running, you know, it's really kind of hard now. So from this point forward, we'll stay at a low unemployment, but, you know, the amount of new jobs created might not be as great as it was in the past. I think we'll see wage increases. And I just hope that Congress can make a little progress on the infrastructure thing. And I'm confident that Trump will do a good job on the trade.
Van Mobley, we're going to be transitioning to a conversation about housing and home sales in 2018 next hour. Wondering what you make. I mean, when we see so much low unemployment, people have got the jobs. We are also seeing in Wisconsin a very much of a heating up of the housing market. How can housing impact what we're going to see here in the economy?
Housing is a big player, and I think that you're very wise to point that out, and I'm kind of kicking myself for being silly and not mentioning it earlier. I think that housing plays a big role in the economy as the housing sector picks up. I think that that's good. I would like to see the building industry and the housing industry focus on providing some new housing that's at a more affordable price point. The housing in Thiensville is roughly about $250,000 is your average home, a three-bedroom ranch. They're built in the late 50s to early 60s. Those homes are attractive to working people with young families, and they don't build that product anymore, and I don't know why, and I really think they should.
What about housing starts? How are housing starts doing? Construction of new homes, beginning construction of new homes.
Well, we're just on the local level, we're beginning to see some pickup in activity and interest in building homes and condominiums. So that would be the thing that I would point to.
So as we start wrapping up this hour, what are you going to be watching in the news as you keep tabs on where America's economy is going in 2018? What are you reading? What are you watching and consuming in order to keep tabs on where the economy is going from here?
I'm going to keep my eyes on the Institute for Supply Management surveys. I'll keep my eyes on the unemployment rate. I won't worry so much about the stock market. I don't expect it to go up a lot this year, although there will be some rotating around in sectors. I'll look for progress on the trade, and I'll look for an infrastructure package. And if we get lucky, maybe we'll be able to make some progress on some other things that they really need to do legislatively, like the health care thing. But I'm not holding a whole lot of hope on that.
Well, Van Mobley, I hope we can hold you to your numbers because you've come through in the past for us.
Well, thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
I'll do it again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's president of the Village of Thiensville. He also writes a regular column for the Ozaki News Graphic. This hour of the morning show was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation about America's economy, you find it on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for listening. Stay with us.